Now, Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. And when the Saviour passed that way, he looked into the tree and he said, "Now, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea." I learned that 40 years ago. Some of you probably learnt it more than 40 years ago. But I like that simple song, simple poem, because it gets to the point of why this passage is in the Bible. Because who does it say passed that way? When the Saviour passed that way. Jesus says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus seeks and Jesus saves. That's what we're going to consider this morning. Jesus seeks, Jesus saves. Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. He was heading to Jerusalem, so he had to pass through Jericho. Something had already happened there. That's recorded in Luke chapter 18. Jesus had met there with a poor blind man, a poor blind beggar, and he had healed the man. He'd done more than heal his eyes. The man had met with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been saved because the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus seeks, Jesus saves. So he had met this poor blind man and had healed him. But we're told about another man he meets in Jericho, a man called Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. And he met with this man. What do we know about Zacchaeus? What was his job? You might say, well, he was a tax collector, but he wasn't just an ordinary tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was a chief tax collector in a very important city, Jericho. Jericho was a place that lots of routes passed through, so it was a really good place to collect tax. They did trade with Egypt in the south. They did trade with Damascus, Tyre and Sidon in the north. They did trade with some of the ports, Caesarea, and other places that were on the west. In fact, Jericho was one of the three main tax places for Rome in that part of the world. So Zacchaeus was rich and he was important. So if somebody's rich and somebody's important, the next thing that would follow would you say, well, he's probably going to be very popular as well. If he's rich and he's important, he's going to be popular. But he wasn't very popular. Why wasn't Zacchaeus very popular? Because of his job. I don't know if anybody here works for Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. That doesn't make you particularly unpopular today. But in that particular culture, Zacchaeus would have been viewed very badly indeed. To be a tax collector in those days, as a Jew, which he almost certainly was from his name, was to be a traitor. Because who were they collecting taxes for? They weren't collecting them for Jews. They were collecting them from Jews to give to the Romans. So you were viewed as a traitor. And the way it worked, and this is kind of very simplistic, so if nobody's going to challenge me afterwards on my knowledge of Roman tax systems and say, well, you didn't get that illustration quite right. But what would have probably happened was, let's say somebody in the Roman government looked at Jericho and they figured out all of the things, all of the people that were coming through, and they said, okay, we reckon on a monthly basis we should get about £1,000 worth of tax. And I realise it wasn't pounds as well. So again, this is just an illustration. So somebody would come along and say, okay, I want to buy the privilege of collecting tax in Jericho, so I'm going to pay you £1,000 up front. And that's what would have happened. And then they were free to collect as much as they wanted. You know, if they collected £2,000 worth of tax, they wouldn't have gone to the Roman government and said, oh, you only wanted 1,000, here's another 1,000. What would they have done with that other 1,000? It would have gone in their pocket or under their mattress or wherever they kept their money. Because they knew that, they would have tried to get as much out of people as they could. So not only was he a traitor, but he would have cheated people and exploited needy people to get more out of them. So this is Zacchaeus. He's rich, he's important, but he's unpopular because he was a traitor and a cheat. And this man wanted to see who Jesus was. But he had a problem. His problem was there were lots of people there because Jesus was very popular. And his height didn't lend itself to being able to see over the crowd. He was a man of little stature. He was short. And so he had a problem. How was he going to see Jesus? You ever wondered why he wanted to see Jesus? So have I. The Bible doesn't tell us, does it? I wonder why he wanted to see Jesus. He'd probably heard about Jesus' miracles. I want to see who he is. Who is this man I'm hearing about? But I just wonder if he had heard a little bit more. Jesus seems to have a heart for tax collectors. Luke's told us about that a number of times already. Imagine that. An important religious teacher who cares about tax collectors, because nobody else did. That comes out in the passage. So he wanted to see who Jesus was. And he was determined to see him. He wasn't going to be put off by his height. So he did something incredible. You might not think it's particularly incredible. He ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed a tree. Now apparently these trees, they had branches that go right down to pretty much the trunk right by the ground, which was pretty helpful for Zacchaeus, because I guess he wouldn't have been able to get his leg particularly high to a higher branch, but the branches started low down on these trees, so he was able to run ahead and get up it. Maybe some of you have done that when you were children. I know when I go out sometimes walking with my own children, they'll run ahead and they'll climb a tree. You might think, well, big deal. But for an important man in that culture to run in public and to climb a tree, he just didn't do that. He really wanted to see who Jesus was, didn't he? I'll encourage you as a church, pray for Zacchaeus's. Pray that there will be people who are curiously interested in Jesus. Whatever their reason, pray that they'd come in to your bookshop. Perhaps some of you have people who come in and do things in your home. Pray that some of those people will be like Zacchaeus. They'll come in and they'll find out that you're involved in church, and they'll say, well, who is this Jesus? Some of you go into places of work. Some of you go into places of study. Pray that some of the people that come and sit next to you and you rub shoulders with, even if it's in a queue in a supermarket, pray that some of them will be Zacchaeus's. People who just ask a question. Well, who is this Jesus? Tell me a bit about why you follow him. Why do you go to that building and sing about Jesus? Let's pray for Zacchaeus. So there he is. He's up his tree. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming along. He's got the bird's eye view. And Jesus stops. He looks up. And he says something incredible. He says, Zacchaeus, I'd love to have known what expression Zacchaeus had on his face at that moment as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him personally, called him by name. We'll just pause there for a minute, because I said at the beginning, Jesus seeks. That's what this passage teaches us. But everything I've said so far suggests that Zacchaeus was doing the seeking, doesn't it? Now, if we were able to get Zacchaeus in here this morning, and we were to say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, tell us something about how you met with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Zacchaeus would say, I just kept seeking and kept seeking and kept seeking, and one day I found Jesus. I think Zacchaeus would say, Jesus came into Jericho because he was seeking me, and he found me. Jesus seeks. That's who's really doing the seeking. He reaches that tree, he looks up, and he calls Zacchaeus by name. And he doesn't enter into a discussion with Zacchaeus, or what should we do now, Zacchaeus? He issues a command to Zacchaeus. Make haste, come down quickly, get down now. And he says, today, I must eat at your house. I must stay at your house today. You ever wondered why Jesus said that? Why must he stay at Zacchaeus's? Today, stay at your house. I must. That's literally what he says. But why? It's good to ask questions of the Bible. Why did Jesus say that? Why was it so urgent? Why was it so necessary that he met with Zacchaeus? Now, we can't read that and say, well, Jesus had been wandering through the streets of Jericho, and he had asked various people and they had all declined. So now he was struggling for somewhere to stay for the night. So he's pleading with Zacchaeus, well, I've got nowhere else to stay. What's going on there is that Jesus Christ had a divine appointment with Zacchaeus. He'd come to Jericho to seek him, and as we'll see, to save him, because Jesus seeks. That's what he does. He's actively seeking. That's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting that the Lord Jesus Christ actively seeks out lost sinners in order to save them. It's glorious. Some of you here may have known the Lord Jesus Christ, been trusting in him, been in Christ for 50 or more years. But none of you would be in the Lord Jesus Christ if he hadn't came and sought you out. Jesus seeks. It's the wonderful truth of the good news of the gospel. Jesus seeks sinners. An example of what Luke talked earlier about, or wrote earlier about, in chapter 15, about the shepherd going out and seeking the lost sheep, the lady who lost one of her collection of coins, sweeping the house until she found her lost coin. Jesus seeks. Have you heard Jesus's call? Have you heard the Lord Jesus Christ come to you? And it's as if he's spoken your name, not Zacchaeus, your name. And he said, your name, I must. And maybe you've held him at arm's length. You've been challenged about your sin, as Zacchaeus would have been as he met the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard his voice pleading with you, pointing to your sin, pointing to your need of a saviour. You've heard that, I must, and yet somehow you're holding him at arm's length and saying, well, wait a minute. Be like Zacchaeus. Don't hold him at arm's length. Jesus seeks. Hear his voice. Listen to him. And how we need to get hold of that truth. Our salvation is completely undeserved. If Jesus did not seek, no one in this room would be saved. That should cause us to love Jesus, because he seeks sinners. Jesus seeks. That's the first point. There's only two. The second one, Jesus saves. That's why he seeks. He seeks in order to save. Jesus saves. In chapter 18, there was an example of a rich man. And he had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had gone away unsaved. Jesus had challenged him. And he knew it. But he withdrew. He went away sad. And the Lord Jesus Christ made a comment about it. He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And we can read that passage and we can think, wow. I know he goes on to say that God can do the impossible. But can rich people really be saved? The answer to that question is yes. Because in the very next chapter, that the Bible is a wonderful book, we have an example of a rich person being saved who doesn't come to Jesus and go away sad. There's joy in his heart because he's met with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down at once. He rejoices. And he knows joy at welcoming Jesus. But while Zacchaeus knows joy, not many other people do. People mutter. People grumble. They complain. He's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. That's what the people were saying. Now, in many ways, it's understandable, isn't it? This man was a tax collector. He was a traitor. He was a cheat. And Jesus has gone to be with him. It's understandable. But it's not excusable, because by this time, Jesus has taught the people on a number of occasions, I've come to save sinners. He was challenging the religious leaders all the time. Their attitude was, well, we need to stay away from these people so we don't get unclean by mixing with them. Don't lift a finger to try and help them leave their life of sin. Jesus says, I've come to save people like that. So whilst these people's reaction was understandable, it wasn't excusable. Jesus has made it clear. I've come for people like that. Let's not be like those complainers, those mutterers, those grumblers. Do you put limits on who the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save? The Lord brings somebody into your path. You think, well, I don't know that I'll share the gospel with them, that they're not a likely candidate to be saved. Perhaps taking it a step further, if they were saved, that's going to be a lot of hard pastoral work to unravel over the coming years in the life of the church, and it could all get very messy. That's not a Christ-like attitude. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he said to them in that letter, this is what some of you were like. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. Because Jesus seeks and Jesus saves. Let's not put limits on who he can save. Or does he save Zacchaeus? The answer to that question is yes. How do we know he saves Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus says, verse 8, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." In that culture, a Jew would have been considered to be, okay, you can give up to 20% of your stuff to the poor, that's okay. Anything above that and you're being a bit foolish. You're not really looking after yourself. He gives half. And you can read through the laws in the Old Testament. There was this law that was called the law of restitution. If you stole something from someone, when you paid it back, you added a bit to the value to compensate for your crime. Restitution. Typically, you added 20%. There were some cases, if you stole an animal and slaughtered it, where the law said you pay back 4 or 5 times. But only in that very restricted case. What Zacchaeus says is, he says, I'm going to go to the toughest law of all, and I'm going to hold myself accountable to that. What's going on here? Is Zacchaeus feeling guilty and thinking, okay, I need to try and earn a bit of favor with God, try and pay and atone for my own sin? He's not doing that, is he? This is a man whose heart has been changed. This is his thank offering to God. The Lord seeks and saves. When Zacchaeus normally sat down and met with a man, the man ended up giving him a load of money because he was a tax collector. In this instance, he meets with the Lord Jesus Christ and all of Zacchaeus' debts are cancelled, his sin. And he responds in thanksgiving. He's filled with joy and he thinks, what wrongs have I got to right? There's things I need to put right. This is repentance. There's been a change of heart and it shows. He's not earning favor with God. He's been saved and he's filled with thanks. Zacchaeus teaches us something here. I don't know many of you here this morning, but he teaches us and challenges us about how to live if we're rich, if we've been blessed with a lot of what this world has to offer. It's a big responsibility, being rich and serving God well when you've been blessed with a lot of money. Zacchaeus did it immediately. He was generous. He wanted to right wrongs. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was saved. And when Jesus says he's a son of Abraham there, I don't think he's just saying, look, you can't treat him as if he's not a Jew just because he collects taxes and gives them to the Romans. He's saying something deeper than that. Abraham was a man of faith. He's a true child of Abraham. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Zacchaeus has got the same rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was an outcast. 6 times Luke refers to tax collectors. All 6 cases, it's positive. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save outcasts. He came to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. What was going to happen to Jesus just a few days after this took place? Where was he heading? I said this right at the beginning. Why was he passing through Jericho? He was going to Jerusalem. What was going to happen to him in Jerusalem? In just a few days' time, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be handed over. He's going to be whipped, mocked, spat upon, crucified. He's going to bear upon himself sin and to know the wrath of his Father poured out against him. The people muttered at Jesus. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go much lower than that. The shame of the cross. He was going to bear upon himself the sin of people like Zacchaeus. So there was, in a sense, where he was going to be seen by his heavenly Father like Zacchaeus, somebody who's a cheat, a traitor, a blasphemer. And God's anger was going to burn against him. The shame of the cross. That's where he was heading. Have you got any doubts this morning that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost? Look how determined he is. That's why it's great that we have this verse, because in a few verses' time, we're almost in Jerusalem, and then we are in Jerusalem, and it's telling us this is what it's all about. This is what Jesus came to do. Don't doubt it. This is how committed he is. He came to seek and to save the lost. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just make it possible for you to be saved. He saves. That's a glorious truth this morning that we should prompt us to respond in our hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks. He doesn't just then make it possible for you to be saved. He saves. He saves thoroughly. He saves completely. He saves forever. Zacchaeus' life was transformed. And the Lord Jesus Christ headed to Jerusalem in order to save Zacchaeus, in order to save his people, in order to save lost sinners. And he saves completely. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all of his people are going to be presented pure, spotless, glorious, radiant. One of the wonderful things to look forward to. That day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see the extent of just how he saves. When all, if you belong to Jesus, if you've trusted him, on that day you will be made pure and spotless, because Jesus saves. He saves completely. The Lord Jesus Christ calls. Have you heard him? Don't keep him at arm's length. Respond. Trust. Humble yourself before him. Cry out to him. And then know that ongoing work. Jesus seeks. Jesus saves. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray.